Hello and welcome to Board Gamer. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. This isn't our usual podcast. We're doing a special episode at the back of UKGE. If you haven't seen the video with Jake, go check that out. But we're going to do a bit of a review slash haul video.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I don't really buy too many games throughout the year. My wife probably disagrees, but UKG is where you go a bit wild. And also, you hope to get the best deals there as well. So, yeah, we're giving a bit of an update of like what we bought and stuff.
I think you just said probably what every man in board gaming says.
Yeah, Jake is probably... he didn't go that crazy this year, but I'm sure he has in the past.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I think last year he didn't go because he wasn't...
Oh, yes, yeah.
Well enough. I think he was ill that weekend.
Okay.
So I know we got a couple of bits for him. I know Luke bought him a few bits.
Yeah.
So yeah. But yeah, so what did you think of this year's UKGE?
I loved it. I thought it was great. It was my first experience of UKGE. It was interesting. There was some things I really liked about it in terms of getting to play different games, the bring and buy, the deals. Some of the content was really great there. There was a few things that I thought could be improved on, but overall I thought it was a great experience, and everyone was so friendly and welcoming, and yeah, great experience overall. What about yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I love it every year. Mm-hmm. Highlight of my year. It's funny, I think this is my third year at UKGE, and I would say that each year you see the same things. However, I know I've spoken to a couple and they say, it's the same thing every year. I still love it. I still find it interesting every time I go. There's always some cool things going on. And like you say, we got to try a few different games and that was quite fun. Like you say, there was some things like... Did you find Saturday was really busy?
So busy. It was just unbearable. The food, I think, was slightly overpriced as well for what you get in.
Yeah, that's NEC there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the same as concerts, I guess. But it'd be great if, not too far away, we've got the cricket and they have, the food stalls that come.
Oh, yeah.
And you were paying similar prices to what I was paying for, like, a Subway.
Yeah.
And you're getting some quality food. So it'd be great if they could have something like that. But overall, it was just a great experience. And you're right, so busy though on the Saturday.
Yeah, so what would you say a highlight was this year?
I think probably the Star Wars stand.
Yeah.
Only because I talked about this in a previous episode. I was just listening back on something the other day when I was doing a bit of editing. And I said the two Platypus games, I would not want to get involved in the TCG scene. And the first thing I did was play Star Wars Unlimited, and it just had me hooked straight away. And I thought the setup was great. They had a few designers there. Everyone was super friendly. They had also Shatterpoint and Legion and X-Wing and Bounty Hunters and the Mandalorian. And all of the stuff was great there. The demoers were great. Yeah, just overall brilliant, brilliant stand.
Yeah, I agree. I think we went to see the Fantasy Flights talk on the Saturday morning. I thought they were going to do a bit of like playtesting or something, or demo some things,
yeah.
But they just literally were just talking about the game itself and designing it and that sort of thing. And then they said that if you go to the stand and you go and play, you get the free Grogu card.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I've... The same as you, I'm not bought into it, but I played it at the January kind of teaser event they did at the Space Center in Leicester, and I played it there, and I got the Darth Vader and Luke promo cards.
Yeah.
And then
were they the same ones that got there?
Yeah. And then obviously I was like, oh, I've got to get the Grogu card as well if I've got the other two. So we went to play it, and I think that must have been my maybe third or fourth time playing it. I think we were all hooked a little bit after that.
Yeah, I mean, we played it once before when we interviewed, I think it was a week before the Octothorpe interview, and it wasn't, it was just, we was like, what shall we play? And it was one of the top ones on TTS or something. It was like, you know what, we'll give it a go. And I think you were Luke, and I just couldn't get past that combo of you shielding something.
It was Obi-Wan.
Yeah,
wasn't it?
An Obi-Wan. And it's funny, actually, I played Joe, and he'd done the exact same thing against me. So it's definitely a good strategy. But afterwards, I was like, is that just the whole point of that Luke deck?
Mm.
And afterwards, I was when we played it at UKGA, I was like, wait there, no, I could do this with the Darth Vader set if I wanted to. And then you could bring in this card to counteract that.
Definitely.
And then the ball starts rolling and you realise all the different strategies that you can start doing. And yeah, it's a slippery slope, but one I'm fully investing in, get involved in that.
We'll come back to that.
Yeah, let's come back to it.
What other games did you get to try?
Played Rebirth.
Oh,
the,
yeah.
Reiner Knizia game.
Yeah, we did with JR Editor.
Yeah.
And we had a friend of ours who came and joined us, didn't he? He was actually running one of the competitions, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was on the Crokinole.
Yeah,
Crokinole set, which, another game I really want to play.
Yeah.
I don't want to pay that whole outlay for a game that I haven't played yet. And I was like, damn it, that would have been the perfect opportunity to give this a go.
Yeah. So he was running it. He was one of the...
Yeah, he was, yeah.
Yeah. And then I think the Sunday he had a free day, didn't he? The competition was finished, so he came and joined us for Rebirth. What did you think of Rebirth?
I thought it was amazing. Yeah, I'm fully behind it. I'm really gutted. I was kept on deciding between that and Ironwood, what to back, and I wasted that much time that I ended up backing neither. So I've just got to wait till the actual release now. What about yourself?
I backed it.
Nice.
It will be coming in September, I believe.
It's a flying day.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was... what I liked about it was such a big sort of board and quite nice. Like, there's lots of pieces, lots of things to do, but it was such a simple game. I didn't think it was too heavy or too overly strategic, because you're only pulling like one of these discs at a time, and you've got to just choose where you're placing it, really. And normally it's not like something where you're really thinking about your moves, because there's only so much you can do. So I think by the time it's your go, you're thinking, if I get a farm, it needs to go here. If I need energy, it can go here. Yeah. If it's a village, I need to go there. And you've already kind of got a strategy in place. So there's no real APing, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
I guess if someone just takes your space, you've got to rethink a little bit. But it's not overly APE, overly strategic, but it's still quite a fun game, I thought.
Yeah, I agree. I think it lends itself quite well to that Babylonia and Tigris and Euphrates kind of style, like where you're fighting over certain spots, but it's probably not as harsh as Tigris and Euphrates. But I think in terms of the game itself, I loved every minute of it. And it's also one that it's got a lot of strategy, as you said, but you can teach it in 10 minutes, which is perfect.
And the theme and the artwork was nice. I really liked it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I really enjoyed that. I'd say a highlight of the weekend for me, I'd say, getting to that.
Yeah, really good. I thought some of the stands were great there. Mind Clash Games, they had some really good stuff showing. I had also had a look at the Distilled stand. I didn't quite get to play. I really wanted to give it a go, but the queues were just unbelievable on the Saturday. Probably should have went back. No, sorry, I did go to that on the Sunday, and it was still really busy. I think that was one of the real popular ones.
They said it was booked up, didn't they? And they told us to come back like sort of right at the end of the day to see if we could get on, but it was...
Yeah, I mean, you got so much other stuff as well to be doing. It's quite tricky. But no, I thoroughly enjoyed it. What would you say was your highlight of it all?
I would say being there with everyone, because we had a full board gamer collective go,
yeah,
didn't
that's
we?
True.
We rocked up in our new merch, which was quite cool.
I know you've got it on. I've got the old stuff one. On at the minute.
So that went down really well. Everyone complimented that. It was quite nice to know that our hard work is being seen as good. So I was pleased with that. But yeah, just being with everyone, enjoying the hobby together, playing some games together at the end of the day. I'd say my highlight, I would ruin the haul a little bit, but we did a draft of Star Wars Unlimited. That was my highlight, I think.
Nice.
It was good fun.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Nice. I think my one regret was not being able to see... I wanted to see the live No Roles Barred. I love watching those guys on YouTube, so that would have been great to see live. And I think Shut Up and Sit Down done something similar as well. So, yeah, I got
Tom
a lot of lot of admiration for those guys, and seeing them live would have been great.
Yeah, definitely. I think they're like some of our inspo when it comes to like YouTube, isn't it?
Yeah.
In terms of how much they do and what they do, and the amount of research they put into it puts us to shame a little bit.
Definitely. I mean, in terms of what's hopefully to come with the website and stuff, that's like been my everyday job for the last 10 years, so that I feel comfortable with. YouTube, podcast, Spotify, Apple Music thing that we're doing, all the social stuff, really. It's brand new to all of us. So, yeah, to see those guys live would have been great.
Yeah, I totally agree. Those guys, like you say, No Roles Barred. I think there was some others that we wanted to go and see.
Yeah.
I only actually literally saw the Fantasy Flight people. That's the only show I
saw. Oh, really?
Yeah. So, it would have been nice. I guess we'll just have to do that next year.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Cool. Shall we get into it?
Let's do it. So, well, how are we going to do this? One at a time?
Yeah, well, one at a time. Our reason for buying. Okay. And
smallest first.
Yeah, and then at the end of it, we'll do our best pick of the bunch.
I'll let you go first.
Cool. I'll go first. So, smallest of the bunch I bought. Wait, I'm just checking the camera. That's not a hat. So... I haven't played this yet, so I can't give my opinion, mainly because I haven't had it in like a party setting.
Get rid of this stupid fly.
That's not how I heard some great things. It was nominated for a few awards, and it was a really good price. I bought it at the Ravensburger actual stand. I spoke to someone that we actually interviewed, so you'll see them in the upcoming video that Jake's done.
Nice.
Interviewing people. And he mentioned this to us, and I was like, where do you get that from? So the next day, I went back and I was able to pick that up. And bonus, I actually got one of the Lorcana special cards as well.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I do not have a single other Lorcana card, so...
I got that, I don't even remember going there, but I got it somehow.
Yeah, so that is That's Not a Hat, Ravensburger Games. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to playing this one. Just a nice little easy party game. Bit of a memory one as well, but with a fun twist to it.
I see that it says 3 to 8 players, so that's quite good.
Yeah.
Higher player counts.
Yeah, I'm going to try this one out with my family next time.
Yeah, I've heard... such mixed reviews. I know, actually, saying this, I know on Critical Role, Sam Riegel, they sponsor Critical Role quite a bit, this game. And Sam Riegel does quite a hilarious, a typical Sam Riegel ad for it.
Okay.
Where he dresses up as a cat. But then says, that's not a cat, that's not a hat. All that sort of. It's very funny, you should check it out. But... I've heard mixed things. Like, there's some YouTubers out there that put it at the bottom of the list, but I guess it's just that whole thing of, are you a social party game or not?
It's really funny. I was looking for it, and I'd heard some really good things, and then afterwards I came back and watched a few other UKG videos, and one channel, I can't remember the name of it now, and he bought this as well. And he said it was the worst game he'd ever played. So I was great. But it's all about opinions, right?
So yeah, exactly. Give it a go. And I think as well, it all depends like on your group.
Yeah, who you're that's playing it, with it. Yeah.
It's very group dependent, those sort of games. So see how it goes. I'd like to hear what happens.
Yeah, I'll let you know. Yeah,
might even be there. Who knows?
I know. Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully.
Yeah, maybe.
Nice little filler game.
Nice.
Cool. So what's up for you?
So my first one I'm going to choose, and you know this game quite well because you've actually got it.
Yeah.
Is Air, Land and Sea.
Yeah.
So I bought this because you showed me it, and I thought it's bad such influence. A good two-player game.
Yeah.
I play a lot of two-players with other people, so I just thought, do you know what? I will buy it because I just think it's such a good little two-player game to have it in my collection. To play with other people, basically. And yeah, I just really, really enjoyed it. It's by Arcane Wonders. They're the publisher. It's a two-player game. You can't play any more than that.
Yeah.
And it's just a very strategic sort of... would you say it's like a bit bluffy? Like you're playing certain cards down in certain areas. Like you don't know what the other person's playing where.
Yeah, I mean, it depends, doesn't it? Because you've got the... cards where if you play them down you can eventually like bring them back the other way, or you can just play them for the straight two. Yeah,
or
I think
you can move them to different
so
very little strategic fun card game. I thought
no it's you... I really like the element where you can, like, if you think things are going really bad you can just abandon. Yeah,
it's so really you good. Get the winner gets less points.
That's it. Yeah,
I think that's great. I think it's such a cool, a bit like the White Flag. But I thought it's a really, really good game.
I know. Have you played Marvel Snap?
Yes.
It's very similar, yes. I think. Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong, it hasn't got like all the... They've got tons and tons of cards and like
and all
this stuff. But if you went like a really simple physical edition of that...
Yeah.
I think with it's
this,
really good.
And if you like this sort of theme, like the World War 1-2 sort of theme, it's pretty cool. I quite like it. It's
I think it's a great game. I can't recommend it enough for two-player.
And I got it quite cheap.
Nice.
I think I can't quite remember, but it was like 10, 12 quid, something like that.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, it was really, really cheap.
I think I paid a bit more than that.
Yeah, so it was just, I saw it at a stall really, really cheap, and I thought, oh, I'll just get it on a whim. But I knew it was a good game because we played, and Air, Land and Sea.
Nice, great show. Cool, moving on to my next one, a small one. It's actually not that small. It's Bounty Hunters. So this is the new Star Wars game. And we actually was lucky enough to demo this one. We got a really good teach. And yeah, we played it. I thought, you know what? This is probably like such a great filler game. We played it as well on the weekend. We had just like a little bit of a board game day. And yeah, it fills that like 20, 30 minute gap where... Yeah. You can just smash a game out. It's really good. Fun for everyone. It's quite light, so you haven't got the rules overhead, and people pick it up real quick. I really enjoyed this game. Yeah. I thought it was great. I scored terribly on my last one. I went for a different strategy, and it definitely didn't work. But I really enjoy it. I do... like the Star Wars IP, so it probably lends itself well. But yeah, if you like Star Wars, quick filler game, I couldn't recommend this enough.
We demoed this, and the guy, when he was demoing it, because you're basically capturing people, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
He said, in the demo, we're just making people capture two bounties.
Yeah.
But normally the game's four or something, didn't it?
Yeah.
And we got to two and we were like, that was so quick, should we just play to three? Because no one was queuing up.
Yeah.
And then we got to three and we're like, should we just do all four? And we ended up playing all four. And it was just super quick, wasn't it? And the guy came over and was like, oh, you're playing all four then? And we're like, yeah, we just carried on. But I quite like it for the fact that there's different ways to score in it. I didn't think it was as like... so linear, like there's only one route, which is the bounty.
Yeah.
There's just so many different, like you've got the crates thing and you've got the contracts on top of the bounty.
Yeah.
So there's so many different ways you can go. I think it's just got a very clever system how the bounty thing works, because I think you score points for the bounty minus how much you have to pay everyone mm-hmm. that capture, like the bounty hunters that you use to capture it. And I think that's such a clever little system.
Yeah, but the bounty hunter ones, they cost no credits.
Yeah.
Where if you want the...
They cost points. Don't they?
Yeah, that's it.
So it's the bounty cost points, and then you deduct how long much it takes for the bounty hunters, isn't it?
Yeah, obviously you can get them out a lot quicker, though. So yeah. It's that balance that you want.
Because it's the droids that give you... You have to pay credits for them, and they can help, but they're harder to get out because you need to get credits first. So it's got really clever little systems, I think, in it. I really enjoyed it as well. I thought it was, like you say, great filler game.
Yeah. So that was Star Wars Bounty Hunters. On to your next one, Tip.
Okay. I bought another on-the-whim game.
Nice.
You know me. this was Next Station Tokyo.
Oh, cool.
So on the Saturday, I went past a couple of stalls with these. There's London, Paris, Tokyo. I don't know
if there's anymore. Yeah, I've seen a few of the others, yeah.
And I went past a couple of times and I thought, oh, it looks really cool, looks really cool. And then my friend that I play with quite often, he was there on the Friday, he says, I've just picked up Next Station London.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, cool, you know, that was pretty sweet. And then we went, I think it was that night, we went and played a couple of games, or it might have been this Saturday, we played a couple of games, Summit, and some other friends, they didn't buy it there, but they brought with them Next Station London. So we played that, loved it, thought it was a great game. So then on the Sunday, I just thought, they've got London, my other mate's got Paris, I'll get Tokyo, which is slightly different. I did have a game of this the other day. Really, really good.
Nice.
It's a writing game. You pull cards and you can draw paths to certain stations, basically.
Okay.
And you get points depending on how good your lines go through different districts.
That's it.
As well as the stations in those districts. But also there's other like scoring mechanisms. So if you can connect stations up to other lines, you get extra points. You can't cross over stations. In the Paris one, there's bridges that you can do and tunnels you can do it. But in this, it hasn't got it.
Okay.
But yeah, just a really good, fun little part game. We played it. I played my friend's Paris one and then we played Tokyo straight after.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was great. Really good fun.
How do they vary with the... Is it just the maps are different?
Are different. So London is quite straightforward. You just get kind of straight up points for going through... district, state, how many stations you connect, and you have four different colours for the different lines.
Yeah.
So each line, you kind of pass the pencil round, basically.
Okay.
And then you just draw the next station, basically.
Mm-hmm.
London's quite straightforward. Paris has monuments, that's got like an extra scoring mechanism, and it's got these bridges and tunnels that you can kind of cross your lines over at certain areas. Mm-hmm. And then this one, the slight difference is there's already a green line around, which is the sort of like circuit track.
Okay.
Then you have to connect your lines all around it. But the ones inside the green line, you get minus points if you don't connect them up.
Oh,
so it's got like a slightly different game again. There's advanced modules. I've not played them. I don't know what they're like, but I'll give them a go next.
Nice.
But great little fun family game. I would highly recommend getting one of them. London will be the easiest, I think, and then maybe get Paris and Tokyo. Doesn't matter which one, but London's your most basic. But a great fun, I would say, child-friendly game.
I really want to give this one a go.
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah, and it plays in, it says 25 minutes. I'd say it's about 25 minutes.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
So it was really good.
Great show.
Next Station Tokyo.
Cool. Now, moving on to, you know what, actually, I'll show this one first. We've talked about it enough, so I'll be very brief. The box is in a bit of a shambles, just because I've been playing it so much. But I got the Spark of Rebellion starter deck, so it comes with the Luke and Darth Vader starter cards. I've since bought a few little upgrades just from my local shop, a few little singles to pad out the decks.
Nice.
Yeah, I think this has probably been my biggest play so far. I love the back and forth that you can have, the different strategies. If you haven't tried Star Wars Unlimited, give it a go. And yeah, I mean, I won't drag on too much because we've talked about this already, but yeah.
Yeah, I would totally agree with you. I did it slightly different. I got I didn't bring it with me, but I did a draft pick. So we bought a box of 24 of those little booster packs.
Yeah.
And then basically, if you don't know what a draft pick, you open them up. You have four of you. You all open a pack. You pick a card. You pass them on. And you keep doing that. Then you do it with another pack and another pack until you start building your decks out. So I built a green deck, for those that do know. But then I've also got quite a lot of blues and reds. So yeah. I've since done the same thing. I bought a load of singles. I've got well into it. And yeah, I would highly recommend playing it. It's such a good game.
Yeah, I think it's really good. It seems to be the probably the hottest property in terms of the TCG at the minute. From just speaking to general people who are much more into that side of the scene. But yeah, great game. Hopefully going to try and go to a few little tournaments.
Yeah,
check out some local play, try some different cards out. And yeah, I mean, if you haven't given it a go, it's definitely worth a try. There's a website called Force Table, fan-made one. So you can just give it a go against the AI, see if you like it, you try out some different decks. And yeah, that is Star Wars Unlimited.
Yeah, I'll say there's that tabletop simulator as well, isn't
yeah,
there?
Yeah,
you can play on there. So
great. There's a great mod for the TTS version as well. They make it super simple.
Yeah, nice. Is it me?
Cool. Yeah, on to your next game.
So this game, we talked about this on a podcast.
Yeah, no, it was our Kickstarter special, yeah.
Yeah. And then at UKG it was there. So they must have delivered some of the publishers.
Yeah.
So I bought it. And that is Hollywood 1947. I haven't played it yet. But okay. A couple of things I have to say straight away. How cool is the box? It's a book. The game is a social deduction game.
Yeah.
You can play in teams depending on how many mm-hmm. people are playing. But the game is basically, it's to do with like the propaganda that was put in movies. Some of you are playing communists and the rest of you are just filmmakers trying to put movies out.
Yeah.
And the government is trying to find out who the communists are.
It's such a crazy, like...
Yeah, theme.
Oh, no.
But the pieces in it and the production is really cool.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's got, like, little film strips. And when
wicked.
You have these little cards with, like, movie posters, and that's the movie you're putting out, like, you're producing.
Yeah.
And then you all do this round, and it decides whether it's going to be have propaganda in it or not. And then only at the end you find out if the film's been... has got it or not.
Oh, okay.
And then you put these little red or blue film strips over the top of them and they look really cool.
Oh, nice.
So it's got this, and it's got all these little gold like awards things, like little pieces and that. So it's got really, really good production. Like I say, the box is lovely. It's such a nice game. So
yeah, I mean, it looks amazing.
So yeah, so can't wait to play that. Again, I think like that's not a hat. I'm waiting for a nice party.
Yeah, sort of, got the right setting, right people for these.
Right setting, right people. And then I'll be playing Hollywood 1947.
Nice. On to my next one. This is a bit of a joint one for all of us. And it was... it is a game called Toss It. Now, this was someone we met at the expo. You will see them in Jake's video. They gave us a test copy and brought it home and had some great fun with it. I'll give a little preview of what they look like. So it's, if you're in the UK, you're probably familiar with the game Bowls. I shouldn't say the UK. It's actually French, isn't it? So
yeah,
doing a disservice
or
there.
Or curling or anything like that.
Yeah, you have to try so and get... you throw this black dart at anything. Yeah,
table.
Window, table, you name it, and it will stick to it. It comes with this cool little bag, and then there's like a purple set and a green set. I don't know how much is in the final copy, but we've got three of each here, and whoever's the closest to that dart wins that round. And it's just one of those ones where you can just keep on playing over and over again. play it really short, play it anywhere. Kids will love it.
Yeah, definitely.
Really cool game, really great idea. And yes, shout out to the people who made Tossit. They were really friendly, gave us a copy, and yeah, fantastic production.
Yeah, it's cool, isn't it?
Really
yeah.
cool game, really unique idea. I think you can pick it up on Amazon now if you're interested. And yeah, definitely give this one a go if you see it about, because fantastic game.
Nice one. Thanks, Tossit.
Thank you, Tossit. Cool. On to your next one. What we got? I don't know who's got the most games here. What, is one of us going to run out before?
Yeah, probably. I think we might.
It might be very similar, but we'll see.
Yeah, even-ish. So this is a game that you have probably seen before. I was going to do a weird slide in, but that didn't work. It's called Once Upon a Time. I saw this on a Will Wheaton tabletop YouTube video about 10 years ago, 11 nice. Years ago. I can't remember. And it's just a silly, fun party game again. So it plays up to 6 players. And the idea is you play a card that starts a story. And then you, as you tell this story, you have to play cards.
Yeah.
If you have a card that matches something in the story, you can play it and interrupt the story, and then you take over. And the idea is to get rid of your cards, basically.
Oh, nice.
But there's like rules as well of like if you stop erming and... you know, you're stuttering a bit.
Okay.
You can call it, and if there's a vote that calls it, you can take over. And mm-hmm. But just silly, you just get lots of cards, lots of different words, all based in that sort of fantasy theme. And it, yeah, it's just a bit of fun. I got it in the Bring and Buy.
Okay, cool.
It was like 10 quid or something like that. And I just thought, do you know what, for 10 quid, it's not a little bad game to get and give it a go. Like I say, when I saw it, I thought it was quite funny and quite cute in the gameplay, and I just thought, why not have a go? 10 quid.
You can't argue with that, can you?
Yeah. £10 for anyone not in the UK. but yeah, so looking forward to playing that. So that's Once Upon a Time.
Cool. Okay, on to my next... Oh, there's one down the side here. So this here I got is the Final Girl starter set. I've actually played this and I absolutely loved it. I thought it was so good. The theme is amazing. It's quite look driven. But there is a strategic element to it as well, where you've got to kind of think of the next move ahead. As the villain, in this case, I got the werewolf box set with it. They really ramp up at the end. If you don't kill them off quickly enough, they get really dangerous.
Nice.
And as they start killing all the civilians, obviously it's just you left then. And that's it was so tense. I actually got it to the point where I was left on 2 health and they were one shot. Because the werewolf was so, like, they have this thing called bloodlust, where the higher that goes up on the track, the more they hit for.
Oh, yeah.
And it was with that last one. And what's great as well is you have your last heart, you have it where you flip it over, and it's like, it's very thematic, where it's like, you're just about to die, and then suddenly...
Something happens.
Yeah, you get this one last life.
To do so.
And I flipped it over, and that would have, I would have survived it if I ever had one more. And I flipped it, and it was empty. I was like, how annoying! I would have been able to get on that one. But so this was from the Van Ryder stand. I think they're the people who created this game. Yeah, I mean the production is incredible. I think it's if you're into solo gaming, it's a must have. And yeah, I really want to give some of the other box sets a go. And I will be playing this one until I beat it with both of the girls that are included.
Nice.
Because they give you these... I don't know what's in them yet, but there's a little envelope where it's like once you've beat them, yeah, with whoever opened it, this. Yeah.
They're hidden, aren't they?
Yeah.
So it's
yeah,
a bit of a spoiler, but
yeah, a little bit of a spoiler, but yeah.
Well, it's not really.
No, no, you but you don't yeah, you don't know what's in there in the envelope.
You find them like pretty straightforward. I know Eden bought it as well.
Yeah,
who helps us at Board Gamer. She bought it at the same time, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But some of those boxes look amazing. Some of those characters and those like villain, horror villains, whatever you call them, they look pretty brutal.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. It looks really cool. I know Eden really enjoyed it when she played it, and she was so in love with the production, because it's like a little video VHS box set, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then you open it and everything kind of dismantles off it.
Oh, yeah. I would show you, but it took me so long to get back in this starter set. We'll be doing that for the rest of the video. But yeah, no, it's really cool production. And
Well, it's worth buying just for that.
Yeah.
Just to see the production of it.
Yeah. We are not sponsored by Van Ryder, but if you want to, just let us know.
With some more box sets.
Yes, please. Yeah. That would be great. All of season one.
If you got that, you could do a series, actually.
Yeah.
A Final Girl series.
Yeah. This is not an ad, I promise.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's not.
Okay, cool. Nice. On to the next one. That was Final Girl.
So this is a game that I mentioned on the podcast not long ago.
Oh, nice.
And I mentioned on the podcast and I thought, yeah, it's a really good game. I remember playing that. And then I got there and I saw it and I thought, on a whim again. Call me Whim Tim.
Whim Tim.
I bought Port Royal and it's the big box.
Nice.
Now, I have played this since. It's great fun. I've not played with the extra modules and expansions you get in it. So one of them makes it cooperative, which I don't know how that works, but that should be exciting. Just a really, really good, easy game. I bought this on the Saturday, and Jay was staying at mine, who is our editor. And when we got back, we were like, oh, what are we playing? We got this out because we knew it was going to be a good game. And we ended up playing like two, maybe three games. I can't remember. But it was really good fun. Really, really enjoyed it. So, yeah. If you haven't played Port Royal, I recommend you do. It's really, really good. Oh, it's Alexander Pfister. That's what I was thinking. Obviously, famous designer. So, I would say this is a great, more simple game of his, because obviously he does quite a lot of strategic games, but this definitely one of his lighter games. I wouldn't say it's like super light, but it's quite a good pushy look, fun pirate themed game.
Nice.
So that is Port Royal.
Great shout. I really want to play that, actually.
By the way, this was cheap as well.
Nice.
It was like £12 for the normal or £15 for the big box with all the expansions.
Oh, really cool.
Travelling Man. So I was just like, nice one. Shout out to Travelling Man for the good price.
Brilliant. Wait, now I'm just going to move some mine around. Okay, cool. So this one here that we've got, I bought this at the Bring 'Em By, and that is Diplomacy. So I've heard quite a lot about this game, and it's notoriously known as the Friend Wrecker. And I really wanted to give one of these big player count. Everyone's like strategizing, turning against each other type of game a go. I seen it. I think it was £10. Yeah, £10. And the condition looked great. And I thought, you know what? I'll give it a go. And yeah, haven't had a chance to play it yet. I think it's quite a high player count, so I need to arrange like a full session. It's one of those ones that is like a 3 to 4 hour game. So I say 3 to 4 hour. Apparently, some of these games have lasted a lifetime. So we'll see how it goes. But yeah, so I picked up Diplomacy. And yeah, I mean, we'll give it a go, see what it's like. And it was one of those ones where I bought it on a little bit of a whim. I've got a game coming up that I wanted to get that is kind of the successor to it. So no spoilers yet. But yeah, so I thought, you know what, let's give the predecessor a go. And I've heard some great things from the guys at Board Game Barrage. They've mentioned it a few times. So I was like, you know what, I'll give this a go and see what I think of it. So yeah, nice. That is diplomacy.
Do you think they sold it because they've lost their friends?
Maybe, yeah. Maybe that's the whole reason. So if maybe Bob, don't get this game, if you value your friendship with people. But
and if you ever notice that Board Gamer just disbands, the social media shuts down, that's because we've all fell
this
out with each other.
This is what is to blame. So yeah, this is diplomacy. Actually, I've opened it up and I've had a look at some of the stuff, and it's like the person has never played it previously. So,
oh, wow. I love it when that happens.
I know, a great bring and buy experience.
Nice.
Cool, over to you.
Back to me. Right, let's do it. Let's get into my some of my favourites. So, for those who might have heard on a previous podcast, I love the White Castle.
Yeah.
We've talked about it a couple of times. Mm-hmm. We played it, loved it. And I noticed De Vere are a publisher that loves this small box, big strategies type thing. So I was out set to get this. I think I was about... I literally walked through the door of UKGA where we got to.
Yeah.
The first stand we got to was Firestorm.
Oh, yeah.
And I went straight up, and the first thing I bought, within 5 minutes of being at the expo, was the Red Cathedral.
Nice.
So I haven't played it, but I've read up about it. I've looked at the rules. It's got a very, very interesting mechanic in it with like this kind of wheel with dice, and then they hop over each other for like different things you can do. It's pretty cool. And the idea is you're all building this cathedral and you're getting points for doing it. So yeah, there's lots of different little actions, a bit like White Castle. There's so many different ways probably to approach it.
Yeah.
But I love the artwork, love the whole theme of it. I love the idea of the mechanics of it.
Yeah.
Can't wait to give it a go. So that is the Red Cathedral.
Nice. I'm very much looking forward to it. I'm saying with you, the White Castle... It's weird because I've actually seen it divide quite a lot of people. Some people don't like the tightness of the nine moves.
Yeah.
But I really enjoy that, like,
same
big strategy. Like, every move matters.
Yeah. I watched a video the other day from Tabletop Turtle talking about it, and I think they played through it, and they said something along those lines of, you kind of want that extra move.
Yeah.
But for me, that is exactly what makes that game so fun, is because you just don't get that one extra move that could have done it all.
Yeah, I think that's what... That's a great selling point. For some people, it might be a bit of an off-putting thing, like, oh, I wish I had time to... How to put it? Rationalise some of my decisions a bit more and make them expand them out a little bit. But no, I'm really looking forward to playing the Red Cathedral, and De Vere Games are always a top publisher.
Yeah, I've started looking at a load more to get as well. Nice. So that'll be in the future. But yeah.
Great shout. Great shout. Cool. So I mentioned Diplomacy being the predecessor, and I also, in the same bring and buy, bought the successor as well. So it's based off the Game of Thrones IP. And yeah, I mean, it's just... It probably adds a little bit more in terms of how each faction works within the game. Another... It's one of this is one of those event games where you might only play it once or twice a year. It takes up the whole day, kind of like Twilight Imperium, but a little bit scaled down. A lot of strategy. Another one where you can ruin friendships because you don't have to hold to your promises, which probably holds up in terms of the IP as well, because that's kind of what the whole show and book series was based on. But yeah, I think I can't wait to give this one a play. I talked to one of my friends who's played this game as well. He said he absolutely loved it. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to bringing this one to the table and making a bit of an event of it.
I also have a friend who loves it, who said that they used to play it nearly every week.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's funny, actually, saying that. Maybe they played it in stages every week. I don't think they played a full game every week.
Okay.
So they might have saved it and then came back to it. But they loved it. It was their Friday night entertainment, basically.
Yeah, I've actually heard this is what has gotten people into the hobby. because I think people who have watched the show and they love it, it's like, oh, look at the board game of it, where it's a very strategic one, and it dives you right into the deep end. So
I think that's very thematic, though, isn't it? The whole point was the war between the houses.
So
I think that's very thematic. It being strategic and outwitting you, like other players and that sort of thing. I think that's bang on what you want.
Yeah, I mean, this one, it brings in the just the houses. So it's not everyone. Daenerys and the dragons, they're not part of it. But there is a dragon expansion.
Okay.
So if you are really into it, you can add that on top. But yeah, I'm going to give this one a go.
Nice.
Make a bit of a day of it and see how we get on.
I'm there.
Nice. Cool. Over to you for the next game. I've got four more left.
I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, so it should work out. Four left after this one, so yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of works out. This is my one of my favourite publishers, De Vere. So this was actually a UKGE exclusive game that landed
that
weekend. It came out on the weekend. I think in the press show they talked about this being launched. I bought Red Cathedral and then I heard about this and I was like, well, I'm going to get this as well then. I have to say I opened this just the other day and I was wowed by the production quality. Typical De Vere, got such lovely pieces. And the White Castle has that bridge that you have to build. This has got like a dice box that you put the dice in, and that's the strength of the coloured dice.
I love it.
So in the actions, you can take a blue action, a red action, a white action, or a black action.
Yeah.
And it's to the strength of what the dice are showing in the... So you roll them at the beginning of each round, and you put them in the stand, and that's their strengths.
Yeah.
And then you can decide which actions you want to take for that move. So certain actions like moving your worm across the... to village. It's a bit Dune-esque. It's about travelling on sandworms.
Oh, I love it then.
it's funny, but they're not trying to eat you though. they just pick up your stuff for you.
Okay.
They're like travelling worms. So you travel on these worms, but you, like the worm might need a white dice to travel. So you look at what the dice value is and you see if it's going to be worth what you need it for and things like that. So it's got this very clever play. You got this little playbook that you open up, like a fold out sort of player board. Multiply, which I always love the production of that. So everything slots into itself. And it's got this whole like, you got like cubes for the different things. So your worm, when you travel your worm, he obviously uses up water and food and he starts to die because he's
just, okay, so
he's just getting old. Yeah, maybe, yeah. I don't know. But you can. You can spend to improve, you know, give your worm the water back and the food back and the health back and that sort of thing. So you have to use different, like, so it's got this cool little, like, meter thing with a cube that you move up and down. And
okay.
It's just got lovely, lovely, like, mechanics in it.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that slightly, I watched one video that had a negative review. It just didn't feel like it was very thought through. I'll have my own opinion on that probably.
I'd reserve judgment until you play it.
You definitely. And they felt that it starts out slow, but then it ramps up. And actually, when you play it again, they said you might be a bit bored at the start of the game because it takes a while to get in. But
okay.
I think that's part of gaming, is everything starts slow. It's about building it up, isn't it? And the journey of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to playing it. The artwork's amazing. It's De Vere.
Yeah.
I'm going to love it, probably. But yeah, can't wait to play it, really.
You know, it's funny that you said it maybe doesn't relate to... Because you haven't seen Dune Part 2 yet, have you?
Yeah, have you?
Oh, you have? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was going to say, because if they're riding worms, then maybe it does kind of...
Yeah, yeah, maybe. I mean, you collect plants and then you deliver plants for... artifacts or money or something, and then you deliver that to the dock, basically. So you're picking up things to trade for different resources to then sell, basically.
Oh, nice.
So you're just traveling around the different villages and towns with your worm.
It sounds good. Crazy theme, but yeah. I love it.
And there's different like pathways. So it's like depending on which path, some take longer to get to the town.
Okay.
You don't spend as much water in that. Yeah. As the shortcuts, they take more water to go through.
Yeah.
So it's whether you need to get to that town or you need to move around quicker or whatever. I don't know, but cool. It's really super cool, like idea and theme. Can't wait to play it.
Nice.
That's Sand by De Vere.
Love it. Cool. So my next game, you may have heard of it. It is... Oh, my big boys now. This is Terra Mystica. And you might have heard of this before. It's probably the most famous game in my collection. This is from Capstone Games. And yeah, it's the classic Terra Mystica that's been built off with Gaia Project and Age of Innovation. And this is one of those games where I've been playing this digitally for quite a while now. And I thought, you know what, I need to own it to play it in person. And yeah, I mean, I love this game. I think it might be in my top 10 of all time. I thought, you know what, if I can get the chance to own the physical copy, I've just started playing the Fire and Ice expansions as well. So I'm going to be buying that 100%. And I'm really looking forward to giving Age of Innovation a go as well. And I love Gaia Project as well, so the whole series I think are great. But for me, the original, the OG Terra Mystica, out of that and Gaia Project, I think I slightly prefer Terra Mystica.
Interesting.
Controversial opinion.
I've heard people say that though.
Yeah, I mean, there's some things that Gaia Project probably has dived into a little bit more. But I think this is a slightly more streamlined version. But yeah, I love Terra Mystica and I can't wait to give it a go.
Nice. I've not played it. I've played Gaia Project, but
yeah,
I've played that like a handful of times. But okay. Terra Mystica I've not played. But I've said before on podcasts previous, I don't mind Gaia Project. It's a good game, but it's not my favourite.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to giving that a go because I've heard some people just prefer one version over the other. So,
yeah, I mean, if you really dislike Gaia Project, I don't think this is going to swing your opinion. Because, I mean, I watched a teach when I first started learning Terra Mystica. I'd played Gaia Project first, and I watched a teach of Terra Mystica, and it took me all of 10 minutes, really, because the concepts are just the same. Yeah.
But if you say it's a bit streamlined, it might be that that's the thing that I struggle with. Maybe, I don't know. But yeah,
give it a go and let me know what you think.
Yeah, look forward to it.
Cool. Over to your next game.
I don't know which one to go with. I'll go with this one. Obviously, a lot of people know Brass is one of my favourite games.
Yeah.
I then bought London because Martin Wallace is a clever boy. so I saw this in the Bring and Buy. It's called Tinner's Trail, if you haven't heard of it. And it's mining in Cornwall.
Okay, cool.
Mining tin, obviously. It's called Tinner's Trail. I think it's the other one is copper. So it's like tin or copper.
And, okay.
It's like a slight auctioning game. So you auction for plots of land and then you can mine in those areas and that sort of thing. Very, very kind of clever. The pieces look a little bit brassy, like the cubes for resources. It's got some clever little plays. It's action selection, so you've got like different actions you can take. And the different actions, if you've ever played anything like, what's the game? Trekking Through History or anything like that, where when you take something, that decides how much. So if you take a really powerful card, it moves your piece up and it means that you might not go next. What's the other game we were talking about with that sort of feature? I can't remember, but basically, if you're last in place, you go again. So sometimes it's like you deliberately take the smaller ones to keep going. So you take two or three actions in your one turn.
Okay.
Because you're the last always. But yeah, it's got quite a cool little mechanic with that. I'm really looking forward to it, actually. Artwork's quite nice. The production's quite nice. Lots of pieces in it. And yeah, bring him by special.
Is this post Brass?
Yes, it's okay. 2020, I think.
Okay, so it's fairly new.
Yeah, it's fairly new. Yeah, I believe it's around that sort of. It's either 2019, 2020, 2021, something like that.
How heavy is the game?
Not as heavy as Brass.
Okay.
Something like a 2.73, something like that, between that sort of spectrum.
Oh, I'd like to give this one a go. I'm a huge Martin Wallace fan. So.
Yeah, but I mean, Brass is a great game.
Yeah.
So I think this is, I'm looking forward to trying this, for sure. 1 to 5 players as well. So, I mean, a lot of those heavier sort of games are always 4-player. So just to have that 5th player, I mean, not that I love 5-player games because it sometimes stretches the game on too long.
Yeah.
But it's nice to have games that if that 5th player does
turn up. Yeah, it gives you that option.
Gives you another option for a game with a bit of strategy in it. So, yeah, I look forward to this. It looks really, really good. Yeah, that's Tinner's Trail by Martin Wallace.
Great.
Alleycat Games as well, a publisher, so that's pretty cool.
Okay, cool, yeah.
So yeah, bring and buy special, less than I think I got it for like 18 quid.
Wow, so, great.
Really cool for great what price. It was. So yeah, looking forward to it.
Cool. All right, over to another bring and buy special. You were fortunate enough to get me this one, and it's Babylonia. So this is the Rainer Knizia tile placement game. I'd say this is his hidden gem. I think you're going to love this one.
Yeah,
it's very Rebirth-esque.
Okay.
And if you've played Tigris and Euphrates, I think it's a lighter version of that. But I mean, not exactly the same. But it's one of those ones of his that's gone. It's gone under the radar. But if you go onto any of the like hidden gems.
Reddit posts
or Facebook posts, this will always be mentioned.
Nice.
And it's got to the point now where everyone's mentioned it that much. Is it even a hidden gem anymore? So I don't really know if it is, but if you haven't played Babylonia before, I 100% recommend it. I think it's probably in... I don't know. I'm going to reserve judgment because I've only played it once before. But it's one of my favourite Rainer Knizia games.
Nice. Yeah. Okay.
Maybe I should hold this back because in case we do a Rainer Knizia special.
I remember you saying that you really enjoyed it the last time you played it.
Yeah.
I think you said it on a podcast, didn't you?
Yeah, I think it was one of our first podcasts, yeah.
So I remember you saying it and then I just saw it on the Friday. And
yeah.
I just thought, yeah, let's... I rang you up and just said, do you want me to get you this?
Brilliant. I mean... I can't remember the exact price. It wasn't expensive.
30, maybe?
I think it might have been a bit less than that.
Yeah.
About that price, anyway. Yeah. And I'd looked before, and I don't know if this is still the situation, but it was basically out of print everywhere. Zatu had it at a really good price, and then once that one had gone, it was like £70-80. I was like, oh, I love this game, but realistically, I'm not paying that. So, when you called up and said that, I was like, yeah, I'll happily pay £30. And I'll tell you what is really cool as well. Very lucky. All the cards have been sleeved.
Oh, wow. I love it.
Yeah.
Love it. This is so good.
And also there's like these reference cards that they've like fan-made ones that they've put in as well that are like laminated inside. Oh, no. So, yeah.
Fair really play cool. to the guy who sold it.
Yeah, really
shout
cool.
out to him. So whatever your name is. Comment.
So that was from the Bring and Buy section. Is that the last one of the Bring and Buy?
No, I've got one more.
Oh, you got one more?
Yeah.
Cool.
What are you down to? One game?
No, I've got two more. I got hidden one under here.
Okay. Cheeky boy. Cheeky boy. Okay. So this is my next Bring and Buy. Grand Austria Hotel. So I played this when I was with Luke, who you will all know very soon, or might by the time this comes up. He bought it off Facebook Marketplace. We had a go. We found a really quick video on how to play it.
Yeah,
just watch that through within I don't know, we started reading the rule book, but as soon as we watched the video, we were ready to go in like 10 minutes.
Okay.
And then we just had to reference a couple of things in the rule book.
Yeah. But
such a class game. Reminded me a little bit, Taverns of Tithenthal.
Okay.
Tithenthal.
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 Yeah, I think that's right.
One of them. We're butchering names again. Taverns of Tithenthal. It reminds me a little bit like that.
You was roll... it Tithenthal? Sorry.
Tithenthal. Let's cut that. Basically, guests are coming to stay at the hotel. You roll a lot of dice, but rather than you having your own personal dice, it's like a communal board. And then it's like dice selection, like for the actions. The actions are split into six different actions. So you roll all the dice and then you put the dice in groups in their selection.
Okay.
So one action might have like three availabilities to do that action, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Or like one might only have one. And some actions don't have any availability to do that action because you just didn't roll the dice. So sometimes you're like, I really need a four to be rolled.
Yeah.
And then no fours get rolled and you're like, damn it. Like... Or you only have one action and then someone else goes and takes that and you're like, flipping it. You have got opportunities to change dice or re-roll dice, but just a really clever game. And you're trying, on your player board, you've got all the rooms. So you've got all these doors going up and they're like little patterns and you're trying to book rooms and you've got to book them in certain like, so you want to get the three red rooms that are like together. Yeah. You want to book them together because you're going to get more points to book them together sort of thing. If you get all the colours booked across, you get bonus points.
Okay.
So you're trying to get guests. But also, they're all doing like individual things that help you because you have to get the guests, you have to fulfil their order by either serving them like food, coffee or something, cake or something like that.
Oh, that sounds really cool.
To get that, you have to roll certain dice and you do different actions to get the resources to give them that to fulfill the orders. So then the guests stay or like whatever. It just is a very clever game. Really enjoyed it. Again, like you say, there's a lot of Reddit posts where people say, what is actually a really great game to have in your collection? This comes up quite a lot, I've noticed. A lot of people have got this like expansion, like big box. Apparently it's really, really good.
Okay.
I think that's my
ton of modules then onto it as well.
I guess so, yeah. I don't exactly know, but I know a few people have sold their basic copy.
Yeah.
In honesty, I don't think I'll play it as much as I'd like to, so I'm not too bothered. Even the base game's great. Just because I've got so many games to play. not enough time. And out of all my games, this will probably be, even though it's a great game, it will probably be one that drops down the list compared to some of the games I've got. But it is a really good game that I'd like to get out a few times in the year if I can. And the base game's good enough in its own right. So when I saw it in the Bring and Buy, the guy was actually delivering it to the shelf and he had a stack of it. And I just saw it and I went, how much is that? And he said, I think this was like 30 quid. And I said, yeah, I'll have it. And then he was holding a load and I took the games off, the top games off him. Then I had to ask some randomer to get the game off him, give him the games back. And it was brilliant. But I'm glad we did it. And I'm glad I bought it because I will be playing Grand Austria Hotel.
Nice. I really want to play this game, actually. It looks really cool. It's great. Cool. So on to my final two. Another bit of an unknown game. I'm sure you haven't heard of this one before. It's Ark Nova. So this one's still in the shrink, so I still haven't played it yet. And this one has just always eluded me somehow. I don't know how. And yeah, I just thought, you know what, I'm just going to dive in on this one. I've heard such great things. And I got a really good price. So, yeah, when I told Luke, he was like, because I said the price, I managed to barter the person, and I won't say what store, just in case the guy gets in trouble. But I said the original price, he was like, wow, that's really good. I was like, wait there, you haven't heard the deal yet. I got like an extra £10 off.
Nice.
So, yeah, when I seen this, my wife really loves the theme as well. And also, we're not that into... whenever we play a game, we love like a strategy game where you've got a lot to think about, but with a really nice theme. And I was like, this is probably like the perfect blend in terms of quite a heavy game, but it's got a lot of strategy, but the theme's quite nice. The components are nice. The cards look great. And yeah, I've been dying to play this, so I will be giving you my opinion of this very shortly.
I know I knocked this game a little bit on a previous podcast. I will say I do think it's a really good game.
Okay.
I remember saying I just didn't get the hype of it.
Okay.
When it
okay.
shot all the way to the top, and I thought it was a good game. But it is a really good game, and okay. I think you'll definitely enjoy it, and it's good fun. And I look forward to playing it with you.
Nice.
That sounded a bit romantic.
I
hope it's romantic. We'll get candles. Build a zoo together. So my next game is also in shrink wrap.
Nice.
I haven't opened it, but it's a game we've played
digitally.
It's Thunder Road. Vendetta. Say that bit as well. So it's by Restoration Games. We've covered this a couple of times on the podcast.
Yeah.
We talked about it, and then I think one of the last ones, Jake mentioned he had played it or something.
Yeah.
It is just a super, super fun racing game. But I wouldn't even say racing's the main part. It is, because that's how you win.
No, it is. But at the same time,
it's about shooting and smashing each other.
Yeah.
And that just makes it just so much fun. And I think the way it plays with the dice rolls, you've got three different cards and you're thinking, which dice shall I use for which car, which one do I want to move? You've got hazards in the road, you've got choppers shooting at you. It's just super good fun. We've really enjoyed it playing it online. We've had such a good laugh.
Oh, yeah, yeah, brilliant.
But I can't wait to play it in person with all the pieces, getting a few of us around, just having a right good laugh.
I love how you can kind of strategize away if you've got the heavier card. The odds are in your favor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's not completely random, but it has got that Ameritrash where it's just go for it kind of feel to it as well.
Yeah, I love that bit. You're absolutely right. There is a way, and you could be really steady-eddy and try and be safe around it. Not everyone else will play that way, but...
Yeah, but that's boring.
It is boring, though. You have to just go full-on in. Fly in, smash each other out of the way, roll the dice, see where you spin off, try and explode each other. It's just stupid, fun. Stupid in a good way. Like, just silly, fun. Which is what board games should be about, having a bit of fun. And I'd love... Don't get me wrong, we're big strategic players. We like a good strategic game. But every now and then, it's just great getting out of these really silly, fun games and just having a bit of a laugh with it.
No, so. I totally agree. I think, you know what? Recently, because we've done the Juve special, I've been a bit Euro-heavy strategy game out. And something like this, you've got to bring to the table occasionally.
Definitely. And this is the thing, like, I know a lot of people are Euro gamers, or I like a bit of both if it's just executed really well.
Yeah.
So I don't just have to play Euros, and I don't just have to play it just has to be fun, enjoyable. I like both for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
As long as it's been executed in a good way and it's balanced game and it's just does what it's supposed to do, I like a bit of both.
Yeah, no, I think for me, it's about scratching that itch. And this does it perfectly for what it needs to be.
Definitely. And it's just so cool, the little miniatures of the cards.
Yeah, great components.
The dice, you've got like...
Don't forget the expansions now as well.
Definitely. So that is Thunder Road Vendetta.
Cool. So keeping with the racing theme for my final game... And it is Heat, a pedal to the metal. So since I've bought this game, I've actually played it 3 times.
Nice.
And
that's how you do it.
Oh, yeah. I love it. I think it's so good. I think it's not very different, but it is different to Thunder Road Vendetta, where it's not the... it's got a strategic element to it, and it's all about efficiency.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you have this heat in your engine that you want to spend, but not overdo it at the same time. Yeah, but definitely. If you play that, as you said, that steady Eddie role, realistically, you should never win the race.
Yeah.
So it's about taking that risk at the right time. And I think it leans into the whole thematic race element really well. And yeah, I love this game. I can't wait to try the different modules and stuff.
Definitely.
At the moment, I've played a few of the different boards, but I haven't. There's like a way to upgrade your car. There's a way to have like a Grand Prix. Yeah. You can play it solo. You can play up to six players, and it doesn't slow the game at all. Yeah. So yeah, I can't recommend this game enough.
We played it recently, and I think we were saying it would be great to do the Grand Prix and do all the races in one go. I think I'm looking forward to that. I won't make the mistake I made last time.
Yeah.
Flipping ruined it for myself.
But. Yeah, so yeah, you was on the last corner and you spent just one extra heat that you didn't have.
Yeah, but I just didn't realise the rule was if it emptied, then you spin out. I thought if you needed heat and you haven't got any in, that's when you spin out.
Okay.
So that's the only reason. But I was playing with, I mean, we're all experienced gamers, I'd say. So I didn't want to do the whole, oh, let me off. I'll take it. I was annoyed and fuming, but by myself that I didn't do it right. But there you go. That's gaming for you. But it's great fun. I've really enjoyed it. I think there's quite a few of these racing games coming out, and Flamme Rouge is another really good racing game.
Yeah, Flamme Rouge, yeah. Heat.
Yeah.
Camel Up.
I know that's an older game, but it's still a good racing game.
No, brilliant. But. And yeah, if you are on the fence about Heat, I'd 100% give it a go. It was probably, it wasn't last year, was it? It was the year before. One of my favourites from that year. It's just such a good game.
Yeah, and definitely.
I've played other people's copies and I've played digitally, and I thought, you know what? I think I can just see myself getting to this to the table very frequently.
Yeah.
And the proof has been in the pudding. I've got it out three times in the last two weeks. So,
that's the nice thing about it. It's not too heavy. It's quite straightforward game. I know my friend's got that and Flamme Rouge, and he invited some friends over who are quite new to gaming, got Flamme Rouge out, and they were fine with it. Super, super simple. This gives a little bit more element of like that strategicness. So if you're looking for something a little bit more than, if you've got Flamme Rouge and you're looking for something a little bit more that adds a little bit more skill in it, thinking about how you're going to do it, then Heat is definitely the next step to that. Like I say, it's a completely different game to Thunder Road. So don't compare those two at all.
No, I don't think that's fair. But both great games in their own right.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely.
Cool. On to your final game.
Final game. Can't believe it. We're down to one.
Said the big boy to last.
No, I'm joking. Now, I will intro this by
saying, the bottom.
There's a bit of lid drift in this. I have always wanted a Vital Lacerda game. And I've been looking for something, and I just thought, when I find one for a good price, that's when I'll get it.
Okay.
And when we first walked into UKGA, when I got Red Cathedral, I saw all the big box Lacerda games. There was loads of them. And I was like, oh, I'll be buying one of these by the end of the day. end of the weekend. But thankfully, I went to the Bring 'em By and I found this for 90 quid and I just picked it straight up. And it is On Mars. I cannot wait to play this. It is a. It's supposed to be one of his heavier ones.
Okay.
However, I've started to read the rules. I don't actually think it's too bad in terms of the rules.
Mm hmm.
There's lots of little nuances, obviously. There's a structure of how he plays the game or how he wants you to play the game. But overall, it's quite straightforward. It's got this lovely mechanism called a life cycle. It's just how the resources, you like to get oxygen, you need plants. To get plants, you need water.
Yeah.
To get water, you need like minerals or whatever, or people, and then minerals or something like that.
Yeah.
So you need like to kind of build them up. Really, really clever. Like I say, four is one of his top games, I think. I think people say like Lisboa is one of his best. The Gallerist is really good.
Yeah.
But then the Kanban's are like a top one. And then On Mars is always up there as one of his best ones. So, yeah, I just can't wait to play. I've just got to find some time, dedicate some time, because obviously having everyone over and teaching them how to play this is going to be a bit of a beast.
Mammoth task.
But I can't wait.
No, I'm dying to play this one. So, yeah, I'll be playing this.
And it will be my first Lacerda game that I'll ever play.
Perfect.
Can't wait.
Yeah, you know what? I feel like that is going to have to be a series we venture down eventually.
We will do, definitely. I think we'll do. We've, like we say, we did a UA sort of top. We won't give too much away, but we gave like our top games of UA with Luke.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Will that be out by this?
Don't know.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll edit that out. Yeah. If it's not.
But yeah, so yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah, I mean, the artwork looks incredible. I love the design. And yeah, I've seen a few reviews of Lacerda games, and I haven't tried any myself either. So I'll definitely be giving this one a go. And I really want to give that new one a go that he's got, Inventions. That looks really cool. And The Gallerist as well.
Yeah,
both look great. I think I might have to bite the bullet on one of them soon.
Yeah, definitely. One of our other friends has got Kanban, and he's just bought The Gallerist.
Okay, yeah.
So I'm sure we'll get some games.
We'll have him round there.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll get some games of that in. We'll try this one as well. That'll be the start of our Lacerda series.
Nice.
So yeah, my last game from the Bring and Buy, On Mars.
Cool. Cool, so that was our haul for UKGE and our thoughts of the overall event. And yeah, really enjoyed it. We won't go on too long. I feel we've kept you long enough as is, showing all our games.
Yeah.
If you had to pick one, what would be your favourite and why?
Oh, I would have to probably go with On Mars, just because it's so big. It costs me more money than the others.
Is that the criteria for winning?
Yeah. So, I've been really looking forward to playing Lacerda games. So I think that is. It would be, I guess, tight with potentially one of the Devir games, maybe Sand or Red Cathedral, I don't know. But yeah. I'd say On Mars.
Cool. I think my game of the whole event that I bought would probably be Heat.
Nice.
Just because I see myself getting this to the table the most.
Yeah.
I got a pretty good price. And yeah, I think that. If I had to choose a runner-up, I'd probably say Terra Mystica.
Yeah,
just because it's one of my favourite games. So to actually own the physical version, I'm really looking forward to playing. Nice.
Yeah, it's cool. Nice one.
Nice. So, in terms of the overall event, we've got next year. I've seen today, it's only 50 weeks away. So, not too long to go.
We're counting down.
Counting down already. What are you looking forward to next year? Is there anything that you're going to try and do a bit more of? Or
yeah. Two things I definitely think I might do next year is get a hotel.
Yeah.
I think I'll definitely do that. And I think I'm going to definitely try and play some more games. That's another thing. I did read up that they're not having Hall 1 anymore.
Okay.
Because I think another event has bidded for it or something. So they've moved into Hall 4, which is bigger, apparently.
Oh, interesting.
It's got more square meterage. Yeah. So it might help with the bookings if it gets even bigger next year. I'm not going to say anything like we're going to definitely do this or not, but it's an idea we've had about maybe even getting a board game, a stand. We're thinking about
hopefully. I mean, we'll see how it kind of plays out, give more details coming up closer to it, but yeah, it would be something we're definitely interested in.
Yeah, I think we've talked about it, it's just an idea, but that might be something we look forward to. For me, definitely it'll be trying more games. I think my problem this year is we went to tables, we waited for 10 minutes and then we're like, oh, should we just try a different game? And
yeah.
We've been a bit impatient maybe. And I think next year I'll just literally stand there for the whole time if I have to make sure I get my spot on a table to play games. Because I think there's a couple we missed out on that I'd like to have tried. But
yeah, no, me too. I think in terms of the event itself, for me, I didn't get to make it to the Friday. So that would be one step, is to go for the full 3 days. That would be nice. And also, I think I tried to buy some games on the Saturday. I think I would go to the Brigham Boy in the morning and then that would be it, because yeah, all the deals for me were on the Sunday. And I would try and just try and play as many games as possible. On maybe
buy
the
many games possible.
On the Friday and Saturday, because yeah, I think that was kind of a missed opportunity. There were so many games I was really looking forward to playing, and you kind of got to be on the ball with getting there.
Yeah. So a couple of weeks before the show, they announced that there was this 20 game limit of taking games in.
Yeah.
I think before, everyone was taking tons of games in. They made this 20 game limit. So I don't think there was as many games this year, and I think on the Saturday and Sunday it looked dead, which before in the past when I've gone, Saturday and Sunday is just as equally as good as the Friday. However, there's been some negative comments about all of that on Facebook. I've seen it, but
okay.
They're just trialing it. It's trial and error, I guess, for them. And they've tried Summit. Maybe next year they might change it again. Who knows?
We'll see.
We'll have to just see. But I think you're right. I think Friday might be the best for Brigham Boy.
Yeah, cool.
We're giving all our tips away now.
I know. Everyone will be there then. Hopefully. Cool. So that was our video for the UKGE haul and our overall thoughts. I really enjoyed that. If you want to check out UKGE, we can put a link below about the whole event itself. It's not just board games as well. There's the TCG scene, there's the cosplaying.
D&D.
Yeah, it's Magic. It's got it all there.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you are interested in that, check it out. And we will be there next year 100%.
I think we'll link Jake's video as well.
Yeah.
Jake did a nice walk around interviewing everyone, so...
Yeah, check that out as well.
Yeah, definitely.
If you haven't, comment, like, and subscribe, and we will see you shortly soon.
Yeah, very soon.
See you all.